Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So when I was a kid, from 1981 to 1989, we lived in Springfield, Illinois. And the place where we lived, on North 5th Street, not too far down the street, just a little bit north of us, was a place called the Springfield Art Association. And they had a little art gallery, and they did some other programs. But the big thing that they did is they offered art lessons to people of all ages, from young children all the way through adults. Well, my folks sent me there to paint and to draw, and we pretty quickly figured out that what I liked doing was the clay. I guess I liked playing in the mud. And so from the time I was about 5 years old until we moved from Springfield, I did pottery classes there. And it was so cool. I loved being in the pottery room. And there were these tools that you would use to shape the clay, you know, however I wanted to shape it. So when I was younger, I would use these wooden tools, and we would work on the tables, and there would be these wooden tools or these wire tools, or sometimes it would be a combination of wood and wire to help shape the clay. And then when I got a little older and I learned more, I got the chance to use the pottery wheel. And you would use the tools as the pot would spin on the wheel so that you could help shape it on the wheel as well. And it was really cool to have these tools in my hands and to use them to make what I wanted to make. And I liked making things. Now, part of why I pray the prayer that I do every week before the sermon is because of that experience, that image from the book of Jeremiah of God as the potter shaping human beings really speaks to me. It's something I can really imagine because it wasn't just the times that I got to make pots. We also got to watch some of the more skilled adults make pots. And it was amazing how they could use their hands and use the tools and shape the clay and create amazing things. A master potter can do unbelievable things with clay. Now, sometimes God, our master potter, shapes us directly with God's own hands, so to speak. Maybe through a time of prayer or through a time of scripture reading or something like that. But there's other times I think God, in a sense, uses tools to shape people. And sometimes the tools that God uses are we ourselves. How often in our lives does someone make a change in our life, help shape us, help us become something new and something better with the guidance of God's love? We humans, we need each other. We are inherently social animals. We are social creatures. Now, some of us are more social than others, but we need other people. We need other humans to thrive. There is a common myth, and it's been a common myth throughout history, that people can do it all on their own. Well, that's a myth. It doesn't have a grounding in reality, and it doesn't have wisdom coming from God. Instead, God time and time again says, no, we are a social species. We need each other. We need each other as children to grow and to learn. We need each other as adults to have relationships that will help build us up and give us strength in the tough times of life. We even need people. Sometimes people we'll never meet on the other side of the world provide some important service that helps to provide us the health and the safety that we enjoy. We humans need to be like this. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking a little bit about how we humans need each other to have a deeper relationship with God and a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and how we can help each other be more faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, I've seen people, the way I've understood what people have said to me in churches, they'll say, oh, I don't need anybody else. You know, me and Jesus, we've got this going. You know, we've got this. You know, people seem to think like they can do it all on their own. They say, oh, it's a personal matter between me and Jesus. Well, I invite you to consider, how did Jesus actually do ministry on this earth? Did Jesus walk around all by himself? If anybody could have done it all by themselves, it would have been Jesus Christ, fully God and fully human. But oddly enough, Jesus took 12 friends with him. And in fact, it's not just the 12 apostles that followed Jesus. If you look at the stories of Scripture, it seems that there may have been as many as a few dozen more folks who were traveling with Jesus as he did his ministry. Jesus is the lens through which we understand God's love and who God wants us to be. And so to me, I look at that and I think to myself, God does not expect me to do this alone. God expects me and all of us to be part of a community where we build each other up. And that message didn't just come with the Gospels of Jesus Christ. That is a message you see back in the passages of the Old Testament, like these two passages we read from the book of Proverbs today. So let me draw your attention to one of those verses, the verse that really is going to shape most of the rest of what we have to say today. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens the wits of another. This passage makes me think of our knife block in the kitchen. My wife Megan actually said, oh, you should just bring the knife block from the kitchen, but I don't know, I thought it would be weird if I came up here with a great big carving knife in my hand. I was worried somebody might get a wrong idea or something strange. But I want you to picture if you've got a knife block in your kitchen. The one that we have, you know, you've got the different sizes of kitchen knives to cut different kinds of food. But then there's that sharpener. You know, it's got a wooden handle, and it's kind of round, and it's got the grooves in it, and you're supposed to use the sharpener to keep the knife sharp. And oddly enough, I always thought this was ironic, but in my life, I can't think of a time I ever really cut myself badly with a sharp knife. But if a knife gets dull and it doesn't do its job right, that's when it slips, and yeah, I've got more than a few scars on my hands from times when the knife slipped. A sharper knife does the job better. But you have to keep sharpening a knife. Even the best blade in the world will not stay sharp forever. Well, I think that's very similar to how we as human beings are called to interact with each other, guided by God. None of us, if we are wise, think we know it all. There's not a point in your life where, whoop, I've learned everything I need to know about God, everything I need to know about life, got it all taken care of, I'll never need to learn anything again. If you've ever met anyone who was convinced of that, you probably know they're not always the most pleasant person to be around. Instead, we constantly live and grow. And in the relationships, if there is a relationship that we have with a person where both of us are seeking to be guided by the love of Jesus Christ, built up by the love of Jesus Christ, help each other to grow in our relationship with God, we sharpen each other. Year by year, we help each other grow in faith and to feel the love of God more deeply and to be prepared to go out and serve God in this world. Iron sharpens iron. So let me share with you a couple of brief stories about times I've seen iron sharpen iron, where I've seen people who are being guided by God sharpen each other, make each other, help each other become more faithful followers of Jesus Christ. When I was in seminary, I was in a class called Spirituality and Leadership. Now, most of us were just seminary students. We didn't know a whole lot. We may have thought we knew a whole lot, but that was our own mistake. There were two people in that class that were not like a lot of us. They had years and years of experience in ministry. Now, one of them was a pastor. He was a pastor in a denomination where you didn't have to go to seminary before you became a pastor. But after he'd been a pastor for 20 years and had great success, he said, I believe God is calling me to learn some new things. And so he was getting his degree at my seminary, and he was part of this course. He had done amazing things. When he'd become the pastor at his church, I think they had about 100 people in worship, and by the time I met him, his church often had more than 1,000 people in worship. And also, his church had taken the lead in an important effort. When he had first become a pastor, gang violence was affecting the city of Boston, and several people from his church were hurt and killed in acts of violence. And his church knew that this was not the way that God wanted it. So they worked with other churches in their neighborhood and worked with the Boston Police Department, and they lowered the amount of violence in their neighborhood significantly. And this guy was nationally recognized for the peacemaking work that he and his colleagues had done. So that was one of the people who knew a lot. Now, the other person, of course, was the instructor. She'd had a different experience in ministry. She had not had to face down physical violence as often, thank God, but she had been one of the first generation of people to become a pastor in the United Methodist Church who were women. And in fact, it wasn't even the United Methodist Church back then. It was just the old Methodist Church. Unfortunately, when she went into ministry, a lot of folks didn't want a woman to be their pastor. And she'd faced a lot of opposition and really some cruelty. But she had had strength, and she had overcome that, and she had helped dozens of other women understand that Christ was calling them to share the good news in many different ways, in many different kinds of ministry. So these two people were really, in a sense, both heroes in the faith of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who got to be in the room with them, we could watch the iron sharpening the iron. They came from very different backgrounds, but they had so much to teach and learn from each other. And for the rest of us, if we were smart, which I often wasn't, we just shut up and listened. Because there was so much wisdom from these two people, and they brought out the best in each other. Well, after I got out of seminary, I became a pastor down by the Champaign area, and I became part of what's called a covenant discipleship group with another clergy. He was about 10 years older than me, and he had a lot more experience in ministry and also experience as being a husband, because I got married my first year in ministry, and experience being a father, because our first child came along after I'd been in ministry about 3 years. And I needed him, because I had a lot to learn. Sometimes I didn't realize how much I had to learn. And sometimes he was pretty direct. I remember once he said, "Oh, Jeremiah, don't be that guy. You know, don't make that mistake." I appreciated how direct he was. And I appreciated that after I'd learned a lot from him, later on, he was faced with a real challenge. He felt called to a certain kind of ministry, but not everybody thought that that was a valuable ministry to be involved in. So he and I would talk and support each other as he went through a fairly difficult time trying to figure out who and what God was really calling him to be, and it eventually led to him moving to another part of the country so he could continue to be in ministry with college students, which is what he'd been doing at the University of Illinois. In the 6 years that we spent with each other, I believe we sharpened each other quite a bit, and we needed each other because we need people guided by the loving hand of God to sharpen us, to make us stronger in faith, to help us grow in faith. When have you been sharpened by someone? Or when has God maybe asked you to sharpen someone else? I bet there's a lot of stories out here that we could share if we thought about it. God has created us for a relationship. That leads us to one of the other verses we read for today, Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and kinsfolk are born to share adversity. God does not call us to live solo lives. God calls us into relationships, and in those relationships with our kin and with our friends, we are there for each other. Now, it's easy to be friends with someone. It's easy to celebrate with someone. It's easy to be invited to a party. But sometimes we need someone with us. I sort of have a rule of thumb I found. You want to know who really loves you? Who's willing to take care of you when you're sick? Or who says, "I don't want to talk to you." Who's willing to be there for you if things have gone wrong? Who's willing to be there for you if you're in a time of grief? Here's a big one. Who's willing to be there for you when you've made a big mistake or you've sinned and you need to make amends and try to put things back together? And God invites us, guides us. Jesus wants us to have those kind of relationships where we can be there for each other. As a song that some of you may well know says, I just wanted to use the full line because I think it sums it up so well. God wants us to have relationships that are like this song. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. That's what God hopes for us. That's what Jesus wants for us. Now, I admit there's a risk when you have a relationship like that with somebody. There's a risk when you have a relationship that's close enough that the iron might sharpen the iron. Yeah, betrayal is a possibility. I've been betrayed in my life, and it doesn't feel good. And a lot of you probably know just as well as I do. But Christ will never abandon us, and Christ wants for us to find the people that can sharpen us and who we can sharpen so that we can be guided by God's Holy Spirit and make each other better, help each other have that deeper relationship with God, and help each other be ready to go out and serve others in Jesus' name. This congregation strives to be a place where those kind of relationships can form, but I want you to look around. Not everyone who's connected to this congregation is here today, and no matter how great we are, there's not a one of us who's going to be able to be best friends with all 300 or so other people who are on the church rolls. That's just not going to happen. Humans don't work that way. But within this body, within this congregation, are there opportunities for us in a little bit smaller groups to have those kind of relationships, to have those times when we can really sit down and listen to each other and learn from each other and be the iron sharpening the iron? It might be in Sunday school. It might be in a Bible study. It might be being part of one of the ministry teams or being part of the choir or being part of some other project that's going on. But when are there opportunities for us to be real with each other and to help each other grow in faith? Life-changing stuff happens in those kinds of settings. So throughout this month and into September, you're going to hear of a whole bunch of opportunities to be part of studies and other groups that are going to hopefully have some opportunities for some iron to sharpen some iron. And I don't want you to hear this as me saying, oh gosh, Pastor, you just want me to put one more dang thing on my calendar? I invite you to these because this is the kind of stuff that changed my life. For the better part of the last 21 years, I have been part of small groups in one form or another that have changed my life. These have often been some of the most profound moments when I felt the love of God, when I feel like the Holy Spirit was nudging someone else to say something I needed to hear about the love of God, things that changed my heart. So I invite you to consider, where might God be calling you to do? If you don't already have a group of people who are here sharpening and who are helping to sharpen you, how could you help find one? How could I help you find such a group of people? Prayerfully consider what God is calling you to do, and if God is calling you into a deeper relationship with some fellow followers of Jesus, that we might grow together. May we all grow. May we all be sharper. And may we go out and share the love of Jesus with all we meet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.